Building the fashion businesses of the future together. Welcome to the future of fashion business. The future of fashion business is about helping aspiring fashion entrepreneurs and designers start their own successful fashion brands by learning from the best, most experienced people in the industry. I am your host, Esteban Julian. For more advice and to learn more about how I started my own fashion brand, make sure you follow my fashion journey on YouTube at Esteban Julian.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. I am your host, Esteban Julian. On this week's episode, I sat down with Global UX Director of Intersport, Konstantin Gavrikov. Now, Konstantin is a design leader with more than 15 years of experience dedicated to product and user experience that pretty much get everything rolling. Now, this was a very particular and very special conversation for me. Now, believe it or not, guys, I have a particular tough time asking technical and specific and tangible questions, which is weird, right? Because this is pretty much what this podcast app is all about. That said, I can dive very easily into very philosophical and macro ideas and topics. And this was, funny enough, one of those episodes. What started out planned as a technical episode on how you as fashion entrepreneurs can start applying user experience principles in your business and your brands, this ended up being more of a general conversation of what UX experience is all about, the importance of what it should be, how the technologies are changing, how consumers buy and buy into brands. And not only that, but also where is this whole thing going? What's this whole thing for? And of course, you know me, you know the episode has to have something that you guys can start applying in your fashion brand. So I also had Konstantin talk a little bit more about the principles that you need to understand, the things that you need to consider, and the tangible advice and tangible pieces of information that you can start applying in your fashion brands to have just an overall better customer experience online. That said, let's get into this week's episode.
Great. Mr. Konstantin, I'm gonna try to nail your last name first try, okay? Mr. Konstantin Gavrikov. How was that?
Oh, that's perfect. That's actually pretty damn good, yeah.
Okay, so you see Spanish being able to be useful for one. But other than me getting your last name correct, I really want to thank you formally for being here. Thank you for giving us the time of day. And thank you for all the information that you are about to share with me and my audience.
It's a pleasure, Esteban. Really happy to be here.
Amazing, amazing. Well, let's start diving deep into the episode. And as I said to you previously, I think, and maybe I'm being selfish here, but I'm particularly interested in how your story sort of developed. You've been working in the creative sort of sphere for quite a while now, but you made sort of a switch between industries. So can you just share a little bit more of what your story has been like so far?
Sure, sure. I've been in user experience design and visual design for digital kind of products for about 20 years. And at some point, I moved to Amsterdam and in 2007. And this is where my true love story with fashion e-commerce actually began. Mm-hmm. Since I've been working for around like 4 years, helping to optimize and redesign TommyHilfiger.com and roll out CalvinKlein.com in Europe. And years later, I joined Bestseller, which is the Danish fast fashion powerhouse with the brands that you might actually recognize, like Jack & Jones, Verimoto, Villa, Only, and many more. Mm-hmm. And recently, I actually joined Intersport, which happens to be the biggest sports goods retailer in the world. Mm-hmm. But in between, yes, indeed, there was a bit of a detour towards the video gaming industry where I simply followed my passion for video games.
Awesome.
And that was an interesting boost in terms of understanding your user and understanding how to actually provide user experience based on joy, because mm-hmm. if you're playing game and you don't enjoy it, you're gonna leave soon.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say I can't imagine an industry that's more picky about customer experience than probably the video gaming industry.
That's very true. And since then, I'm trying to carry over this experience in e-commerce and fashion e-commerce in particular, because there is no reason why shouldn't we be creating a digital experience as enjoyable as video games, or as playful as video games as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what an amazing approach. That's very, very interesting. And I wish I had the understanding of user experience to ask about the intricacies of how to apply those principles. I'm not going to even try to do it. So maybe we'll leave that for an episode a couple of years in the future when I'm a little bit more capable in that topic. But that said, what sort of created that curiosity from, you know, video gaming industry to fashion industry? I mean, they're both very creative industries. But was there sort of a problem that got your attention? Was it only the fact that you understood that you could apply the principles that you learned in video gaming in the fashion industry? Or was there something beyond that that motivated you?
For sure. And I mean, in general, I definitely like what I do. And what I do is designing and creating the best possible experience for your user, when it comes to the conversation about e-commerce and fashion, it's your customer as well. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, I started to work actually on Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein, and I understood the complexity of the entire industry, that within the user experience or customer experience, it's not about designing a particular page like product detail page or a checkout process. It's about looking at things holistically and understanding the entire journey of your customer, from maybe Instagram or Google Shopping or somewhere else where they start their journey, and all the way until the very end, which as well lands on the fulfillment side of things, mm-hmm. which is again not digital. So mm-hmm. depending on for instance your highs and lows of this experience, and obviously the last moments, you're building some impression about your brand, and you're building some connection with that particular customer. And if you've done well, they will come back. If not, they definitely won't be spending a penny in the future with you.
Of course. And does this concept of user experience, does it not become increasingly more important in you know, industries like the luxury industry, where, you know, it's all about the experience now, and even more than the product so far? So do you think there's an opportunity of sort of this work sphere growing into luxury, or is there some sort of challenge to apply the same principles in industries like, you know, the fast fashion industry? Yeah. And the gaming industry is something a little bit more upper tier, like luxury.
For sure, the experience is pretty much important for any brand that has a digital destination in this case. Or when we're talking about fashion, it's about omni shopping, meaning mm-hmm. that you can start your journey online, but then you can continue it in the real store offline. Mm-hmm. And there is not just the potential, but there is an extreme need in helping customers to have as immersive experience as possible, because through basically creating this inspiration and replicating the emotional shopping that you have in the brick and mortar store, mm-hmm. this is where ideally our added value sits. But it has been always very difficult, because you cannot touch the product, you cannot feel the material of the garment, you cannot try it on, so you cannot understand the fit in the right way, which all means that you are constantly dragging your customer out of this immersion mm-hmm. and bombarding them with, you know, menus or call to actions or forms that they have to fill in, when mm-hmm. in the truly well-organized brick-and-mortar store, the first time when you're going to probably switch on your cognitive is on a cash desk when you're asked like to take out your credit card. Mm-hmm. So this is the ultimate goal that we're trying to replicate actually in e-commerce as well.
Awesome. So would you say that that links entirely to the general overview of, you know, the trends and the expectations people have about fashion brands online, or is there something a little bit different that, you know, so that people, particularly me and my audience, people that have very little idea of what customer experience actually is all about, can sort of understand the general principles or just the general overview of what it's all about?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And with the advancement in modern technologies, we're getting closer and closer to providing this experience. Mm-hmm. Just to give you a couple of examples where we always failed is providing enough confidence for the customer to make a purchase mm-hmm. of a garment that they would be completely sure is going to be the right fit. Recently, basically this January, ASOS has launched an initiative called See My Fit. Mm-hmm. And with the See My Fit, every garment that they're selling is going to be possible to see on 16 different models. And these mm-hmm. models differ in terms of their body size, height, and as well, you can clearly identify like which model fits you better. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, we are helping the customer to draw this connection and to, again, kind of like as I said before, make a more confident purchase. On the other hand, we are decreasing returns, mm-hmm. for which is greatly in increasing the value for the business as well. A mm-hmm. Couple of other examples that I can throw into the loop as well is AR technologies or artificial intelligence in general with more smart suggestions or smart search capabilities based mm-hmm. on your previous shopping history, for instance, or based even on the items that you just looked at, for instance, mm-hmm. as well.
Wow, that's crazy. And how far are we from actually having access to that technology? Like, you know, just another day-to-day occurrence?
In a lot of cases, actually, it has already landed. So if we are talking about a big scale e-commerce systems, AI is already integrated in terms of giving you these suggestions mm-hmm. During your search or when you're trying to look for a particular style, for instance, and so on. Mm-hmm. In terms of the example that I mentioned with ASOS, these guys are experimenting more and more with the modern technology as well. So mm-hmm. their previous advancement was the visual search. So you would be able to just photograph a person on the street or yourself in a mirror or whatever, and it would look up for the items that do correspond as close as possible to, for instance, the photograph that you got mm-hmm. over there, making it way easier for you to kind of identify the item that you really like than somebody else.
Well, that's crazy. And I mean, of course, ASOS is at the forefront of this because, I mean, they're pretty much at e-commerce platform on 100%. Do you think that these technologies will sort of get in the way of the physical retail experience? Do you think they'll come, because it's been a, you know, it's been a topic, trending topic of conversation for the last couple of years about, you know, online being the end of retail and is retail even needed anymore, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's just a very open to conversation sort of topic. So do you see this like technology eventually taking over completely, you know, because you could, I mean, you can imagine just virtual reality also having like its own take in the future of how experience is going to happen. You know, people won't even have to leave their rooms and they can sort of experience the store experience without even being there. So do you personally think that's eventually going to happen, or if there's always going to be sort of a psychological need for physical interaction and physical experience?
It's an interesting question. I wouldn't claim the universal truth over here, but for sure, within the last even decade, we can see that e-commerce is growing way faster and more than the brick and mortar retail. So mm-hmm. the trend says that for indeed, e-commerce is going to be on the rise. Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, I have to admit that, for instance, like within the last couple of years, there is a lot of happening, a lot of fallback to the offline as well. Mm-hmm. Customers, and especially Gen Z in this case, are appreciating analog and appreciating offline way more. And right mm-hmm. now, Amazon is experimenting with retail points. Zalando, for instance, as well, is experimenting with the brick and mortar points. And more e-commerce is working in a synergy for a lot of brands with their offline stores, meaning mm-hmm. that you can order online, pick up in store. You can, when in store, for instance, understand like what's available in terms of sizing and colors, and maybe even if it's not available in the store, order it to your home and so on.
And now, we'd like to take a quick commercial break to thank our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by Your Social Component. At Your Social Component, we help fashion and e-commerce business owners automate and scale their online sales using the best online advertising strategies out there. If you're looking for a marketing agency that completely understands your industry and can scale your fashion and e-commerce business to the next level, make sure you get in touch through our website at yoursocialcomponent.com. Now let's continue with this week's episode.
Wow, that's fascinating. Cause I mean, you stop looking at the bigger picture, right? Like you see people being attracted to online e-commerce, but you also have to think that 15 years ago that didn't exist. So maybe the novelty of it is what's made it work so well, or what's make the demand for it so high. But at the other end of the spectrum, you got the people that have been born in a digital age where everything already existed, everything was available, and now they're looking for something that isn't available or that isn't predominant now. Like, you know, perfect example might be what vinyls are now. You know, right. People care about vinyls. They have a genuine connection with the whole experience of it. And maybe that's going to start. And again, as you said, there's no universal truth to this point. It's just a general interest and conversation to have to see what the possibilities might be. But yeah, maybe the people that are being born now in the future will prefer retail locations than, you know, e-commerce experiences, which is, it's funny you brought that up because it's a very, very interesting perspective.
There is another actual direction where it can develop. So mm-hmm. with AI, for instance, and the big tech companies and ecosystems that they're providing to us, which like Google and Amazon and Microsoft and Apple, they do have a lot of data that they are collecting about us. And to give you an example of what fascinates me is ubiquitous digital assistants, mm-hmm. Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, Samsung Bixby, and their Chinese counterpart as well, with the advancement in semantic and natural language processing, they are taking over the world at the moment, meaning that by now, by the end of this year, 50% of all online searches will be voice-based.
Wow.
Or, for instance, 30% of all web browsing sessions are going to be done without a screen. So to understand the impact of that, we're not even talking that people are not going to see the products that they are trying to buy. Mm-hmm. They are just going to be sometimes confronted with this digital assistant powered by AI, a prediction made based on their habits and based on their data. Even wow. before they think about it.
That's crazy.
Here, that's maybe not from the fashion world, but a funny example that I find fascinating. Amazon has launched a while ago microwave, mm-hmm. which is voice-enabled. But the main aim of this microwave, of course, is not to make it easier for you to say like, hey, do the popcorn for me. But that Amazon would understand how often
you
buy you eat this popcorn and what kind of food do you buy, and therefore will be able to come up with a shopping list, which will be fulfilled by Amazon as well later on.
Wow, that's insane. And I mean, people, just to link this a little bit with people that, because we're getting a little bit philosophical here, which is important. I mean, I think people really underestimate the importance of having this discussion. It's maybe not other with other people, but just reflecting it over yourself, because this is what's going to happen. Like, things change very quickly, and you need to know, I mean, you need to at least know that there's things that you don't know, and be aware that anything at this point is possible, so that as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you sort of have this mindset that's prepared to adapt to whatever comes next. Now, this all links back to user experience. You know, the better, the easier it is for you to buy, the more enjoyable the process is, the better. And what you're saying is that companies and the technologies that are being developed are so far ahead that they can give you the experiences and the products that you're looking for without you even consciously realizing it, that that's exactly what you wanted.
Right. That's the perspective to look at it. But of course, if you're talking about the user experience and in application to e-commerce or fashion e-commerce in this case, there's still a lot of work to be done on the online.
Of course.
And the best way to approach that would be to analyze your customer journey, as I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that stands out in this is your customer. So knowing your customer is the answer to providing the best experience, to having the business value, to increasing retention as well, meaning keeping customer happy will bring them back to you as well.
Yeah. Awesome. And do you think there's like a sort of double-edged sword to this as well? Because I mean, at the end of the day, as you said, it all comes down to the customer, but there might be certain situations and certain scenarios where the traditional rules per se of customer experience, if there are any, of course, say that it has to be about improving the customer experience. When on the other hand, there's brands, particularly in fashion, I don't know if you heard of them, like, you know, Supreme, Antisocial, Social Club, which quote unquote break this sort of traditional sense. They make almost the customer experience almost terrible on purpose. I mean, you're talking about brands that you have, there's terrible waiting times. Right. The websites look really, really poorly designed. They flow poorly. The logistical aspect is terrible. And it's almost done on purpose because it gives this sort of false sense of what the brand is about. So do you think it's also sort of, I mean, I guess the rules about experience is that there's no rules other than, you know your customer.
Sure. I tend to think about this quite a bit and discuss it with my colleagues, discuss it with my fellow designers from the industry. There's in e-commerce, there's always this dark side because as soon as you have a business tightly related to conversion, in a lot of cases, designers or product owners and product leaders as well tend to forget that there is a human being on the other side of this conversation, and that we have in one way or another, not just trying to make the business happy, but to deliver this good experience. And to take a look at these things, there are, I would define first like three main areas where, you know, like this dark patterns live. One is with the disrespect for the customer's privacy, time and attention. We've seen in the last couple of years a lot of people unsubmitting, unsubscribing, opting out from all kinds of services because within the last decade the increase in all of the notifications and pollution, information pollution, has reached dramatic escalation. But in e-commerce, not so much. You're still going to be seeing these pop-ups showing up on the main pages, asking you for the email, or constant newsletters being sent to you together with the mobile notifications. And per se, this is not a problem, for instance. But imagine that on average, one customer is being targeted with all the commercial campaigns, flash sales, seasonal discounts, product and collection launches, personalized communication as well, but then multiplied by amount of brands that a single individual is having interaction with.
Okay.
And the other part of this, what you mentioned, when brands are playing with, let's say,
psychological
well-being, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So FOBO, fear of better option, this is a constant problem with marketplaces like Amazon or Zalando and so on. Try going and checking out like how many jackets they have on offer. I've been trying to shop the on Zalando, and they got 8K jackets. I thought like, okay, maybe I should just go and filter it. And when I applied the filter to see only black jackets, I found 25 hundreds of those, making my choice pretty much impossible. And if you're a perfectionist, you're either going to spend time looking through all of them or just going to live frustrated. And on the other hand, they are bombarding you with the notifications like, oh, this is the last item, for instance, in this size. So at the same time, you are facing scarcity and urgency. So you need to make a decision fast, even though you understand that there are like thousands of products that might be better than what you have picked just a moment ago. And let's say, in this case, e-commerce and fast fashion in particular are, let's say, responsible for generating a lot of, let's say, questionable decisions around sustainability as well.
Of course.
The main principle where e-commerce adds up is that buy as much as possible in as little time as possible is the motto for the entire industry. But in combination with fast fashion, it means that you're buying cheap clothes, and cheap clothes mean disposable clothes. Therefore, we kind of lead you towards buying more.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. And do you think, and I'm very interested in getting your perspective on this, because of course you've seen and been around, well, I mean, you've been able to analyze a lot of different things based on data. So I'm really wondering what your personal opinion on this might be. And there's of course not right or wrong answer, but because of this whole thing, and from my perspective as a designer and as somebody that's in the industry, as an entrepreneur, I do tend, and this is probably more a romantic idea. I don't think I have solid data on this, but I do think that because of everything that you're saying and you're talking about, you know, people and the consumer having a lot of cognitive overloads due to the amount of information and the amount of experiences that are out there, that they are having this natural tendency to go for a lot simpler things, sort of like this sort of less is more mentality when it comes to their experience, when it comes to the products that they're buying, and when it comes to what they're expecting from brands. But again, this is just an idea. So based on your experience and what you've seen, do you think this is sort of what's going to happen in the future because of the nature of these problems? Or do you think it's not going to go in that direction at all?
This is definitely the aspiration for not just e-commerce industry, but for any digital products and services in general.
Exactly.
Let's say zero user interface or natural user interfaces.
Exactly.
This is where we are trying to get. And that's why I mentioned digital assistants, because this is an example of natural interface. You communicate with your voice, and you don't have to learn how to tell different kind of like words or form synthesis from these words, meaning that you already have a knowledge of that. When you come to a particular website, be it on mobile, for instance, or a mobile application, you have to figure out how to navigate through that, how to find this nice dress that you were looking for, how to find it in the right color, for instance, then how to complete the purchase and so on. And all of that, again, is not very immersive. And this is just a temporary necessity on our way to having this truly, let's say, immersive experiences over there.
Amazing. So what you said pretty much was that, I mean, the consumer always has wanted this certain type of experience. We've adapted as much as we can with the current technology that is accessible to us now to provide those experiences. But at the end of the day, technology is going to fulfill what they've actually been wanting for, but what they've actually been wanting for a long time now.
Right.
Wow. That's awesome. And you said this applies to not only the fashion space, but multiple different industries, because again, it falls down to people's behavior, not only people's behavior in buying fashion, but people's behavior in buying anything.
Right.
Awesome. Now, man, I mean, I find these sort of more general principles and philosophical ideas a lot. And I do expect my audience to also be enjoying this conversation. They're probably also a little bit overwhelmed by this whole thing, because they are big ideas that, again, are really, really productive to be thinking about. But from a maybe more specific or technical, having a little bit of a turn to the episode, because I do like the audience to walk away with some sort of technical know-how or a tangible sort of a advice on what they can start applying to their businesses. I guess what I want to ask you is, when it comes to user experience based on all the technology and everything that's accessible today, what would you say are, I guess, the one or two or three things that you should be focusing on as an entrepreneur for you to have a solid or a decent, or at least going in the right direction when it comes to your online user experience? And I know it's a general question,
question, for sure. I definitely not going to tell anything new over here. And if you're familiar with the industry or the expertise per se, it might sound as the basic stuff. Nevertheless, this is the stuff that even I rely upon every single day. And in this case, for me, the most important part is about understanding your customer. To do so, you might want to focus on two perspectives. What they do and what they need. And in a lot of cases, it will actually give you an understanding like what you need to be focusing on, where do you need to develop a new feature, or where do you need to improve product imagery, for instance. And the second part, which is not least important, is why they do it. And therefore, my tool set and the tool set of user experience designers within e-commerce, and also a lot of other functions within e-commerce as well, is to dig into data. Two types of data. Quantitative will help you to actually understand the site performance, what's going on over there, what people are doing. And you need to be on a lookout for, obviously, some key e-commerce metrics like conversion rate or average order value and return rate. And depending on the situation and depending on the context as well, add up some secondary metrics like abandonment rate and other things. And understanding the why, you need to employ some qualitative research and data. It might sound a bit complicated, but it all boils down to what's available for you. The simplest qualitative research is just talk to your users, talk to your customers.
Yeah, give them a phone call.
Indeed. I mean, go to the store where they're shopping, catch them in their natural habitat. Ask them what inspires them, what motivates them to pick this product and not another product, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or if you cannot have access to the kind of like real customer in the brick and mortar store, send a survey or an email with a question. Mm-hmm. They do tend to appreciate it as well if a brand is caring about the experience and trying to improve this experience. Mm-hmm. If you have, of course, more resources, let's say, or a possibility to dive into more advanced technologies, I would definitely advise to go for usability testing, where you could give a particular assignment to your customer, like, hey, can you find a green or light green dress? Mm-hmm. And then see them getting through your website or mobile application. And along the way, you can ask them questions, what they are experiencing, where they are having challenges, if they see that they struggle, and why is that? In a lot of cases, it's way more eye-opening than looking at the numbers only.
Wow.
I literally seen people in this usability lab sats. First, like one person just sat there and didn't scroll. Mm-hmm. And the important information was just a scroll away, swipe away from her. Mm-hmm. They just didn't think about that. That's it. You would never imagine that looking at the numbers, like, oh yeah, this person abandoned a product detail page.
Yeah, because of price or because. Right.
Yeah. So that would be my general suggestion. And then, of course, as well mentioned before, try not to look only at a particular feature or a page, mm-hmm. because customer is never interacting with only your shopping bag, for instance, or mm-hmm. only your homepage or a filter. It's mm-hmm. always a part of the a journey. They came to your .com destination or application from somewhere already. Mm-hmm. They're looking for something. They're trying to either find a particular product or just get inspired. And mm-hmm. it depends. And then after that, they're going to order it, and they are probably interested in when it's going to show up on their doorstep and mm-hmm. when it is there, that it's the right product, it's the right color, and hopefully it's the right fit as well, so they don't have to send it back.
Amazing.
It's all part of the experience.
Yeah, no, makes sense perfectly. And what about, and for, I'm mentioning this just because it's the typical sort of platforms or software that people tend to use, and that's the metrics that people tend to use generally. What about things like Shopify and WordPress? Do you think that they are able to provide solid enough data, or I guess basic enough data, to start making productive decisions in your experience, or 100% pretty much they're not good enough, start talking to them how in whatever other ways you can?
Let's start with, of course, like, it depends on the scale of your business operations that you're dealing with. Depending on that, you might just require something more powerful to sustain a big assortment and product information being poured there in big amounts and so on. Therefore, you need to have something more solid. But in general, experience-wise, Shopify is not better or worse than something bigger like Salesforce Commerce Cloud.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you adjust it to your particular customers and what mm-hmm. information you're providing about your products, how great your product imagery is. Do you have these items available? Something that is not even related to the technical platform in this mm-hmm. case.
That's awesome. And I love that answer, because again, it goes back to the fact and the importance of and the source of pretty much everything, which is, again, knowing your customers. What do they want? Because pretty much, other than that, I mean, everything else is just relative to that, you know?
Yep.
And this is not only from a user experience perspective. This is also from a marketing perspective, from a logistical and operational perspective, product and design perspective. So a really, really good answer, and it really dives home the importance of this one single sort of topic. Now, Constantine, I think it's been an amazing episode so far. I think we've covered a lot of really big ideas that are very important for people to sort of understand or at least reflect upon. Really, really good technical know-how on the things that you should be focusing on. So just to conclude this episode, I really want to end it with a question that I like asking all of my guests. And the answer is really up to you. It doesn't have to be in the fashion perspective. It just has to be a good answer for you. And the last question that I want to ask you is, if you could go back, maybe to when you were doing the gaming development, or when you started working in the fashion industry, whatever resonates with you, what would be the best piece of advice that you'd give yourself and why?
That's a definitely not an easy question to answer.
Yeah, it is.
Ad hoc basis.
At the end of the episode, I do it on purpose so that walk around, so that my guests know that at least they also had to put in some work to this, not only the audience and understanding what they're talking about.
I guess, for me, it was always about enjoying what you do. And I would say that no matter what, be authentic in this case as a designer. And if you believe, for instance, that you can make a difference over here, go for it. And no matter how big of a business pressure is there, if you can still deliver something that is going to bring this value to the customer, that should be a solution.
Amazing. Well, Constantine, thank you for your time. Thank you for all the valuable advice. It was really amazing having you on here. I really hope I can have you some other time in the future. I am also a video game geek, and I didn't mention this beforehand because I didn't want to risk getting into video game talking during the episode.
Yeah, for sure.
But
that
I
would end up there inevitably.
Exactly. Yeah. It would have ended right there. Like, it would have to be a completely different episode. But yeah, I hope I can have you back sometime soon while I figure out how I can introduce that topic productively for fashion listeners.
For sure. Thanks a lot for having me, Esteban. It's a pleasure.
If you want to learn even more about how you can start your own fashion brand, make sure you follow me on YouTube at Esteban Julian. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. Make sure you subscribe to listen to our future episodes.